Greetings, everybody. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything Frax, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world on chain, well, you've come to the right place. This is DeFi Dave here, Solo Dolo, and I'm here to help you harness the power of the Flywheel. And this time around, we have on the legend herself, Winnie.eth. She has a new project called Chipped. And what I really like about Chipped is how it's getting people that are not crypto native and not necessarily familiar with the chain and helping them dip their toes, helping them get comfortable, get familiar with it. I feel like being in crypto for so long, especially in our little corner of DeFi, we're so used to complexity that sometimes we just got to step outside our little box and see, wait, what does mass adoption look like for the normal and average user? And I think one thing that comes across with Winnie is how long-term minded she is on this project and how she's thinking in years and not in just weeks or days or, oh, like quick this, quick that. Like, no, like she has a plan for mass adoption for the masses. And I'm really excited about it. We're going to get right into it. But before we do, make sure you go ahead, subscribe, hit that bell button for all the latest notifications on YouTube. Give us a comment. Let us know what you think. Give us a like, please. Make sure you follow us on all our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can go to our website, flywheeldefi.com, for all the latest updates for Frax and DeFi. Go ahead, subscribe there right now. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22. And let's get the flywheel spinning. Do you hold ETH but don't know what to do with it? Want to earn those juicy liquid staking derivative yields but don't know where to start? Well, Frax ETH is there for you. Frax ETH is Frax's native LSD solution, allowing you to earn boosted yields in multiple ways on your ETH. If you want to get started, go to app.frax.finance and turn your ETH into Frax ETH today. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, and here I have a very, very special episode. We have on the legend herself. We have on Winnie.eth, who has been making waves outside of crypto. I mean, we've known each other for so long, and it's like great to see your evolution from where you were to like where you are now, what you're doing with Chipped. And I feel like DeFi has a lot to learn from you, which is why I wanted to bring you on. So Winnie, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. I mean, it's crazy. The last podcast we did was probably about 2 years ago, and it was kind of like, I want to say early in my building journey. Yeah, it was probably like quite early in my building journey within crypto, but just so much has changed over the last couple of years. And yeah, really excited to get into it today.
Yeah, for some context for everyone, me and Winnie originally met in October 2021. That was in Prague during the NF Castle. So this is like, I feel like the top, like bull market, pure bull market, and then like top was like between October and like February of around that time. And we met like just around then, when like the energy and the attention were the highest. And when we did our last interview a month later, I mean, I was at Gelato, you were at Chiller. And so I'm curious, like since then, since I guess like November, December 2021 till now, like, where has your career taken you? Like, what was Chiller? And like, what is Chiller? And like, where has your career gone since then in your building journey?
Oh my gosh, it's been a journey. I'll give it that. But yeah, so to just backtrack a tiny bit, I got into crypto in 2017, started kind of being more involved in, just trying to understand more of what that actually means, like build a blockchain in like 2019, and then got properly into it 2020. And then in 2021, we founded Chiller, which was a growth and strategy agency. So this was during the time when there was a lot of rug pulls going on. There was like, we were all about like building trust in a trustless system. So how can we almost like leverage our personalities, our social standings to help projects, like help good projects come forward above all the noise? So I thought it was an incredible journey to be with Chiller. Like the boys are still absolutely crushing it. And I think it was so important for me to be there to just kind of cement myself more in the ecosystem than I could have ever done by myself. I think it's really important to surround yourself with these kinds of people, and people like Bernardo and Fungible, who are still absolute legends in the game. They were the most amazing people to work next to and gave me such a great slingshot really into what I've went on to do next.
Solid foundation. Yeah.
Solid
a chaotic
foundation.
Field.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And then from there, I kind of just BD'd around for a little bit. One of my favorite projects that I BD'd on was Figure Got, which was like an NFT project, but kind of combining the physical and the like the physical world and like NFTs, because I really do think that the way that we're going to see this mass adoption is to create products and create ecosystems and environments and worlds that don't necessarily look like they belong to crypto and NFTs. Like one of the best things that we did with FigureGot was we were at ComplexCon in 2022, and we had like this just little respite where we had like, it was a super cute booth, but then in the middle we had a table with little tote bags that everyone could draw on, and loads of people just come up and like, oh, we can just come and draw on these really cute illustrations. So like, yeah, just come sit and chat. And people came for the art and then stayed to talk about crypto. We like lured them in a non-deceiving way.
That was the top of funnel. It was like, oh, what's this? What's the art? And mm-hmm. then they stayed. They're like, wait, this is a crypto thing? Like, what do you mean? This is just art. And then that's how you hooked them in.
Exactly. Exactly. So make it fun. Make it non-scary, non-threatening, almost enticing even. And then they come and they stay to learn about it. And they're like, oh, I thought crypto was this. I didn't know it could be this. And that was the kind of narrative and that conversation that we wanted to start having with that.
And I feel like crypto could be, I thought crypto was this, but actually can be this. This is probably one of the defining themes of your career and like how your building has gone. It's making things that you don't necessarily think are crypto, but actually are in the back and you don't even think about it.
That is the entire ethos of everything that I want to build. Like I like to consider myself like a human ENS. So I like to kind of take
you these- literally are. You have the tattoo, right?
But my background was originally in fashion, and then I wrote my undergrad thesis in 2019 on the relationship of fashion and crypto. My professor said it was stupid, and I went on to study computer science out of spite. I'm a really bad dev, but from that, I have learned how to communicate technical things into human readable ways. So all I want to do is take complex blockchain problems and solutions and create human-centered products surrounding that. And that's what I feel like we're doing with Chipped and Gossip Protocol. With regards to like Chipped and Gossip Protocol, they're one and the same, just kind of part of the same tech stack. Like Chipped is just a product of Gossip. So Chipped is the hardware, Gossip's the software. And we're taking something that is as fun and as normal, or something as normal as sharing your contact information, which we all do almost every day, like whenever we meet someone new, or, you know, we've gone onto a new social media, but we're like meeting IRL, and then taking it, making it fun, which is like, you know, oh my God, and memorable, like, oh my gosh, tap my nail, like, oh my God, you're the nail girl. And then combining that with like the underlying tech behind it is on-chain. And no one even needs to know that it's on-chain, but the premise of what it is, especially with Gossip, is like, I own this. This is mine. But like without the fear of like, oh, I own this. Oh my God, I have so much responsibility. It's not like, oh, this is just another application, but we own it. I can't go too much into what Gossip is yet because it still like hasn't launched. And it's in like, yeah. So wait, when does this come out?
This comes out not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I guess from then we would have announced that we're part of Seed Club season 7.
Oh, and congrats.
Thank you. Got our pre-seed. So
got super your pre-seed club.
So super excited for everything that's going to be going on with Seed Club, and yeah, just hitting the ground with what we're building everything out with Gossip at the moment.
So okay, we have Gossip Protocol, which is the software. Mm-hmm. Chipped is a product, is like the heart, is the physical manifestation of what's going on in Gossip. What is Chipped exactly? And I mean, I know it's like it's nails, and like you have the NFC. You have the NFC chip in the nail. So, but I'm thinking like this could be used for like different things. Like you could like, I have a necklace, and maybe it's like on my necklace, or if I have a watch, or like anything like that.
Yeah, so I think like the fun thing about like, and originally when I named Chipped, is like obviously, you know, you chip your nail, like your nail varnish chips. Oh, I've chipped my nails. And then putting an NFC chip is chipping something. Like there's a lot of meaning behind the dichotomy.
I'm not going to lie. When I first heard chipped, I thought you meant like, my first thing came in my head was RFID chipped. I was like, oh my God, is everybody getting like their chips in their hand or something? But it's not that. It's like, it's in the nail. It's a physical product. But that was the first thing that came, like Conspiracy Dave, first PTSD, the first thing that came in my head.
The first one, being like, how do you get it in there? Like, embedded it under your nail. I was like, no, it's press on.
Yeah.
So like, this is just one of them. It's just like, it's the NFC is in there. And then you just kind of like, I'm getting my nails done today, which is why I don't have it on. But then you just kind of like glue it on. And then it gets programmed to go to whatever your social media profile So when you tap the nail with your phone, depending on who we're collaborating with, like whether that's Geeky World, whether that's a chain, whether that's another social platform or so, like, you know, another decentralized social media platform, that will go to the nail will go to there. So the great thing about NFC chips is that they can pretty much go to anything. We're experimenting with faucets. We're experimenting with like so many things that it can go to. But the main ethos that I want to move forward with is the biggest problem that I have, and this is what I think DeFi could probably learn quite well from this, is the hyper financial. But it doesn't make sense because it's like decentralized finance. But a lot of social things are trying to turn social into finance. But if we lead with just the hyper financialization of everything, everyone's going to get left behind besides our bubble. If we're building for like the masses, we need to look away from the centralization, the hyper-financialization of things. Because one, most people don't use the internet to get paid. That's not their first thought. They go on to connect with their family, friends, they've moved to college, whatever. Or they go to just like share stuff online to have fun with it. Like, not everything should be led with just finances, because people get scared of that. Like, most people who are like, oh, you can sign up to my platform and earn up to like, you know, this much. Most people go, okay, what's the catch? Okay, yeah. like that's a scam.
People are inherently skeptical of it.
Exactly. So if we can lead with just creating fun experiences that are mostly human and don't change people's existing behaviors, but just assist them and add them and make them just like heighten them, I think that's the way that we're going to get people using the chain without having to go down like promising everyone money. Like, everyone wants money at the end of the day, but it's not a normal thing for people to see their portfolio, you know, 100x in a day and stuff like that. It's like, we live in such a bizarre ecosystem here, and we're only building for us here. If we have to start looking at like, what would a normal person do? What would my mom do? What would my cousin do? Like, what would my weird friend from college do, you know, who studied humanities, like, or whatever, like, you know, or studied whatever.
Oh, it's me. I'm the weird person that studied humanities.
So, yeah, it's if we're building for the new world, we have to build for the actual people who are in it and not just the people who are in our world.
Got it. It's, you know, it's funny because we do live in such a bubble, and especially if you're deep into the culture, sometimes it's hard to take yourselves out and be like, wait a second, like, this, there's, most people are not used to, you know, airdrops this, or like, you know, this money go like number go up like that, or number go down like that. A lot of people can't handle the volatility, and that volatility, it's scary. It really is scary. And when you're building consumer apps, you have to think in the mind of the consumer. They want something that's safe, that they're comfortable with. Like, even if like there's a chance of like, yes, that could be like 100x on something, like at the same time, on the flip side, there is a chance of it could go to zero. So you don't want that like hyper financialization when it comes to these products. Maybe though, like, these things could be used for some, like, I feel like the data from chip could be used for like airdrops or something in the future. It's like, oh, like, this is a network that you're creating, like, boom, like, oh, I can see like who you're connected to, who you've been shipped with, like, we're going to give you an airdrop for this. It could lead to things in the future and kind of help people like dip their toes. Cause I don't know if there's ever like, I'm not sure if we can ever like turn back from hyper financialization. It just seems like everything's getting more and more financialized. And I'm not even talking about in crypto, like, look at like Robinhood and like all how that has played out, and like everybody's trading stocks and options now. Like, it's everything's going to go more and more towards, it's just a more bet more culture. But I don't.
We got to walk before we can run. First,
we got to walk. We got to, like, you know, get have training.
We got to crawl first.
We got to crawl first.
It's like, this space is so incredible. It's full of like the most intelligent people and builders, and just with the most incredible ideas. But like, the world is not ready for it. Yeah. And that's truly how I see it. It's like, we don't have to just, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint at the end of the day. And I feel like everyone's trying to be that friend tech and get that 8 weeks of, oh my God, this is the most amazing PMF we've ever seen. And then it's like, oh wait, maybe it's not. And yeah, there's a lot to be considered, and there's a lot of, you know, like, humanity to take into into account. And like, again, going back to like what you were saying about airdrops, one of the things that I find really fascinating, I'm obsessed with proof of people. I'm obsessed with like, you know, Sybil, de facto Sybil, all these kinds of ways that we can see how people gamify the human existence. So when it comes to like airdrops, it's just like, okay, how many like proof of person things do we need to show that someone's actually a human being? And then how many times do they have to reprove this? And then to what extent does this get gamified? And it's like, there's so many different levels to understand.
Gamify the human existence. That is a hell of a statement.
But it is. It's like, okay, this is a bit like, you know, like you look at like one of the, I read a really great article on like Adena protocol that went out, like that like blew up in 2000, like blew up like this time, like last year or something, because people were using it. They were getting farms in like people to like farm it in like, you know, developing nations, where the airdrop was, they were getting like a cut of the airdrop to play it, but that was still more than like their daily wage. So it costs less time and money to set up this thing. And then, yeah, it was fascinating to see like everyone, like this was probably like the best way that I've seen like proof of humanity kind of done, but still massively gamified. And
that reminds me of Axie Infinity back in like 2021, when people in the Philippines were making, that was insane. Like they're getting a voice at the, like a seat at the table in governmental affair, in local domestic affairs in the Philippines. But that's, I like think like if with this hyper financialization, if like people are making like more money doing speculation than they are like other things in the world, like what does that like lead to if everybody's just like gambling or like speculating?
It's going to die.
It's like, I don't know. That's like one of the things that have like, I don't know, a few things have like disturbed me like recently. It's like that. It's like this, I mean, like, I don't know. Anyways, if I go into my next question, like what, back to Chipped, like what has this response been? Like, can you go into like when like people that aren't in crypto see Chipped and like they put it and they interact with it and like, oh, this is so cool. Like, what is it, like the same thing as like a figure it out? Is it the same response?
Honestly, the response for Chipped is like, it makes me cry.
It makes you cry.
Yeah. Wow. Like, honestly, just seeing the response of people who are not in crypto finally, like they get it. Like when you talk about like attestations or data or just like sharing your connections, it's just like, wow, this is the first time I've seen something within crypto that I want to use. And I'm like, oh my God, this like makes me so, it just like makes me so happy. Like it is, it's my baby at this point. I started working on it. It is my absolute baby. I started working on it in, I want to say September last year. And then I approached Kiki to do like the manufacturing. And then we had like an amazing, the response in that we did an activation in Istanbul for DevConnect was just incredible, in collaboration with like Enzo and Shifai Disco. It was a really great collaboration between like female founders. And we chipped like 250 people or so, and within 3 days had like 1,500 data points or something like that, like created from attestations of people sharing their information with each other. And what was just so fun was to see how excited everyone was about it. Like, wait, this is so fun. And I'm like, fun is a KPI at this point. Like if people are actually enjoying
it. Fun is a KPI.
If you're just having fun using a product, like sick. Like what's, how do we build on that? But there is just, it's, the response has been phenomenal. And like, oh my God, I'll send you this little video that I just got the new brand. We're going through a rebrand at the moment because everything's kind of been like a soft launch up until this point, just like, you know, trying to find PMF, get everything together. And now we're like so ready to hit the ground running. And I've been working on a rebrand with this incredible, incredible designer for the last couple of weeks. And I got through like the first, what's it called? Just the first thing of it today. No one has ever understood the assignment more. Like I was like, this is what I want for it. And this is what I think I want. And like, he sent it through and I was like, I'm crying again. Like it was just to see someone.
It's a lot of crying here.
Oh, like I think it's okay to be like, just like very happy tears. Just, yeah, it's happy, just, yeah. What I think, this is the, I've been in crypto, what, 7 years now. And like, I've lost my why a couple of times. Like, you know, you go through stuff and you go through, like, it's been, we've been through a journey over the last couple of years, especially like, I could have released a rug pull back in like 2021, 22. I could have done that. Like so many people that I know just like released so much bullshit and made so much money from it. Like, oh, I could release a meme coin. I could do so much. But I have such a vision for this space that I just have to like truly stick to. And I've worked in so many jobs here. I've gone through so much with like just trying to find my own PMF within this space. And now that I've finally found it. Yeah, I've come back to my why. And it's just, I wake up every day so excited to build. And I'm like, there was a period during last summer, last summer. And I was like, what the frick am I doing? Why am I still here? I have like, it's always ETC is always very much like a really important time of year for me because it's just very, it's a really good point for me to like center on because I live in Paris. Everyone comes, I get to kind of judge my life over the last year and compare it to each one and where I've been. And like, I would say like ETC last year was a huge low point for me because I was really? Just like, yeah, I just had no vision of what I was doing with my life. I was like, where, like, I wasn't really working. I was between projects. I missed working on my own thing. I'm very much meant to work on my own thing. Like it's always just been. And then like straight after that, we founded Gossip. And like, I didn't know what I wanted Gossip to be back then, but I was like, I know on like social aggregation, I know I want it to be in consumer social. And I was like, let's just do process of elimination. Like, let's just pivot super quickly. Let's try loads of things. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And then like originally I wanted it to kind of be like a product house to kind of be like the mischief of Web3, to kind of work with brands, churn out things and, you know, go down that viral campaign kind of route. Like we did the activation with Unlonely for Love on Leverage, if you watched that.
Did I you saw watch some it? Clips. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I've seen some clips. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I loved Jake and Simtow, the Simtow pitch. Oh, I don't forget that. Shout out Proof of Jake, absolute legend.
Shout out my love, Proof of Jake, my absolute boy. But yeah, so we did season one back in, I want to say November, and it was just amazing. It was like, that was also a really low point in the market. So no one was
amazing
really
how much stuff you can get done when the market's at a low point because there's like no distractions or anything.
But also like we can just, you know, mess around so much because the only people who are here are people who are still here. So we can just kind of, if you want to embarrass ourselves, we want to have a bit of fun with it. We can do that. That's fine. And that's what we did with Love and Leverage. And it just kind of brought back that bit of joy to the space. Yeah. And it was like, cool. How do we take like these fun activations and fun things and just make it again, make it human. So like Unlonely were launching the betting feature. And then, so we were like, cool, let's do a dating show where you can bet on the outcome of it. And yeah, it was just, that just made it get people engaged in a way that some people probably hadn't like used, but people probably hadn't even used, some of them hadn't used Base at that point. So it got people like using Base. And yeah, I think just how do we create stuff that makes people want to do stuff without just money go up? It's like, this is fun. I'm a human being. Humans are great. Let's do stuff with other humans.
Yeah, it's kind of like the money going up is a byproduct of having fun. And it's...
Yes, I love that.
the interview I had last week, I had on Alan, who was the founder of Pump.Fun. Have you seen Pump.Fun?
Yeah, so I've literally just checked one of the shitcoins that I'm in, which I...
Yeah, but I had him on. I had him on for a very scholarly interview.
I do it like every day. in the group chat.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah, somebody like I'm in multiple group chats where people are just like dropping the Pump.Fun, this and that, and I'm just like, what is going
on? I'm up like 500% over the course of this call.
I'm down 500%, so I'm down to zero. So I'm done with Pump.Fun. But I like the fun of it. I have fun. But the thing is, like, even though like I'm like down in, I had fun, like it's an experience. And the main point we got away from the interview was culture is literally everything. You can't buy culture. You can't force culture. It like kind of comes about in a natural manner. It's like something's cool or if something's funny, people will naturally be attracted to it. Not because there's like some financial incentive. It's because of its like inherent coolness or funniness or silliness or whatnot. And of it, you know, maybe it like goes on and becomes the next Dogecoin, and maybe it goes on and weathers into the ether, no pun intended. But at the point, at the end of the day, like people are just like having fun, making connections. And, you know, from that, like, who knows like what else happens from there? Like at the end of the day, it's like all about having fun, and like culture is everything.
This is one thing that I find a lot of people do really forget about within culture, especially in this space. Like I've worked in probably every single role there is possible in marketing and like BD in this space. Like I've done agency, I've had my own agency, I've done like, you know, like mini CMO positions and all this kind of stuff. And the one thing that I find just that the space does not understand is that you cannot buy like the story. Like no agency can give you that. You have to like this is one thing that I find so important to come from founders. And I find myself very lucky at the point that I am in my career right now that I've built up enough of kind of like the lore to be able to have my little cult following and like my little simp army and stuff, because like I've been around, I'm not going anywhere. But it's like when you get like new founders come in, especially who are like not native, and then they try to hire an agency to craft this story for them, it's like this space
No one knows their own story better than themselves. And like, maybe you can get help from the people around you to craft it, but you can't just hire some agency that's going to like, that you just met, that's trying to like craft a story. And that's trying to try and be probably copy paste from a, you know, a different story and copy someone else. And people people just automatically see it as inauthentic and be repelled by it.
Exactly. And like, I think like agencies are great to like assist you on this kind of journey, but they should not be the ones like leading. Like I always think that when it comes to marketing, it should be done in-house. And then like, if you have an agency, that should be used as like a secondary tool, not as like your main thing.
Like as an amplifier.
As an amplifier, exactly. Like, you know, network and all that kind of stuff. But like, that's why there's some founders in this space that I just truly respect for just staying true to themselves and true to like their narrative and how they like portray themselves on Twitter. Like some of my favorites would probably be like Mike from Rainbow, Smokey Barrachain, Alex Mazmej, like all these founders who are just like so committed to just the bit.
The committed, you took the words out of my head. They're committed to the bit, yeah.
And like, I'm pretty committed to the bit, I would say. So, and like, that's why I have a lot of faith in myself for what I'm trying to build here. And I think that's just something that I find, which is super really important to me, is to be like, hey, I'm here to do it at the end of the day.
So what else do you think, you know, DeFi and crypto projects get wrong about marketing? And what do you think crypto actually gets right about marketing, if anything at all?
Oh my God, the VanEck. Like that is VanEck. What's right with crypto marketing. Like it's...
They're so funny.
There was this one client that I was on when I worked at an agency that I wanted to tweet, like I was like, you let me be your VanEck. I can be the intern to your VanEck. And it was like, yeah, sure. Let's see what you got. And I was crafting I wish I still had access to this account, cause it was so freaking funny. like my draft tweets. And I would spend, we were spending hours with legal and compliance of them breaking down exactly why I couldn't say what I wanted to say. There was one time, like it took 10 minutes for them to explain to me why I couldn't tweet, refer a friend and get up to a 69% chance of getting a girlfriend. Wait, just kidding. But you might get Bitcoin back on every trade. And like, they were like, they just went through like, you can't tweet 69%. You can't infer that they are all men. You can't do this. You can't do that. And I'm just like, but it's funny.
Funny. Yeah. That's actually hilarious. This is why we can't have fun, because of people like that.
Because of legal and compliance, well, let us have fun.
Yeah, but I wonder how VanEck gets it past their legal and compliance, because it's not like they don't have legal and compliance. Is it there? It's just more chill. I'm curious about that process over there.
Yeah, I'm very curious. I'm going to the VanEck are taking over the New York Stock Exchange on Friday, Friday. For like with crypto, and we're gonna be there, and we get to watch the bell ring, and it's gonna be very funny because we're gonna be wearing cat ears on the New York Stock Exchange.
Then this is this Friday.
Next, I think it's next Friday.
Next Friday.
The third or the third or the fifth.
Yeah, talk about a great meme, the cat ears and Imagine AI. Shout out to Wema. Brilliant, so simple. Like, you know, we're going to make cat girls real. Like, cat girls are taking over.
I have so much respect for the, like, my PFP on Twitter is an Imagine AI. It's crops, this is something that no one, I've never said this publicly. It's crops from the top up.
I had no idea.
The original one is, you know, it's Imagine AI. I was like, I'm cropping this. But I've been a huge fan of what Imagine AI are doing for a long time. And like Thelma and Case and the team are just incredible. Like, they're just like, it's, again, committing, they've committed to the bit. Like, to see exactly, like, okay, Imagine AI are possibly right now one of the greatest forms of marketing in Web3. Like, what they did with the protests and, like, you know, don't silence the waifus. Like, that, just to unapologetically commit to what your brand's voice and is, I think they are just, it's incredible. I'm obsessed with them. Yep.
They even got on the news with the protesting.
And I'm like, as you freaking should. We've been doing a few brainstorms with like some of my content creators about how unhinged can we go with like the nail. Like, there is so much around nails and like girls and getting their nails done and going to the salon. There is just so much that we can do around this one thing. And like, one campaign that I'm really excited to do is like in the girls' bathroom. So like, these men don't understand what goes on in the club in a girls' bathroom. And then like a club girls' bathroom, it's where you meet your best friends. Like, all it takes is like, oh my God, girl, I love your nails. And then it's like, it's just a very visual campaign of just girls drunk in the bathroom, but like scanning each other's nails. And it's just like, how can we commit to, how can we just commit so much to the story and the lore and the ethos of like who these people are, and that's why I feel like Imagine AI has done incredibly well. It's like, yeah, it's, we all know what Imagine AI does. They are not trying to hide it. They are trying to amplify this message as greatly as possible. And that's what I think everyone needs to do. But they haven't pivoted to being a social protocol, which is like what everyone who seems to have done in the last like couple of months has just seemed like, oh, we're going to be a social protocol. Mm-hmm. No, commit to your bit. Commit your narrative, stick it out, and that's where we're seeing.
So are you encouraging projects just to get sillier and sillier?
If you don't have like a chief silly goose, then like you're doing it wrong.
Chief silly goose. CSGO.
CSGO.
All right, that's a new position that's going to be out there. Now, we don't have chief marketing officers in crypto. We have chief silly goose officers.
We do indeed. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new meta.
Pretty meta. But going back to what you said before, I can't help but notice when you were talking about, like, you know, people that you may have seen in the space in the past, you know, release projects that were short-term minded and may have been like quick cash grabs. Meanwhile, like, you see founders in the space that are maybe doing like silly things, but they're long-term minded. They're thinking about the eye on the prize. Can you like, how do you like, for someone that's like new to the space or whatnot, can you like, how can you, like, they spot someone who is like short term and someone who's long term?
I don't really know how. I guess it becomes like an innate thing eventually.
I think you have to be, I feel like it's either through, for me, it's like either through like experience, you've been like rugged before and you can see the rugs again, or like, it's just like, it doesn't pass the vibe check.
It's literally a vibe check. There have been things where I'm like, oh, this just doesn't sit. I don't know what it is. Something's not right. And it's been like, oh, I'm so glad that paid off. But we all get caught in crossfires. We all get rugged eventually. I genuinely like to lead with humanity and trust. And this has led to me getting kind of fucked over sometimes, either with like business partners or like just deals kind of gone a bit awry because I genuinely trusted that person. And I think my main thing is like, get everything paperworked. You know, it's, don't, there's a lot of things that you can say or be like to look out for, but then it's like, oh my God, the amount of like opportunity I've also missed because I've been like overly cautious. And now like, I'm very lucky that I am in a position where I am still very cautious about things. Well, we can look about like this from like so many different ways of like either projects or like business partners. There are so many different like ways that we can look at it, but I think it's a really difficult one. That's a really hard question.
It's one of those things that's with experience. But another question I have on here is like just talking about crypto and in general, like what are your current spicy takes? What are you thinking about that are like actually unpopular opinions?
Oh, I did see this is something that Thelma tweeted about, like quote tweeted. Someone's saying that like founders who spend too much time on Twitter or like spend too much time like either degenerating, like trading shit coins or doing what like are bad founders. And I'm like, I totally disagree.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm literally in the tunnels with my brethren. Like someone sends a pumped up fund, someone sends a ticker. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna
In the
wax.
tunnels?
Yeah.
I'll meet you in the tunnels.
You in the tunnels. I can see the light. Yeah, it's the best way. Because, well, to me, shitcoins are pretty much the antithesis of everything that I technically say, like preach. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to be with my friends having fun, understanding what's wrong with this space. Not saying that shitcoins are like, or meme coins are what's wrong with this space. They're just like, it's just a different way of looking at it. Same way when it comes to like wearable tech, like this is a million miles away from like the Apple Vision Pro, but there's still like two sides of the same coin. So it's yeah, I really love meme coins. None of the racist ones though. This is like my PSA of like no racist coins. Like guys, there is so much more humor out there to be had that like, okay, this might be my spicy take. There is If you have to resort to racist jokes, you are not funny. Like, you saw a
It's
comedian
like
on
get
there.
more creative than
Get more
that.
creative, exactly. Like, you saw like a comedian on Twitter Spaces like being racist about these shit coins and stuff. And I was like, and everyone's defense was, oh, he's a comedian. And I was like, aren't comedians meant to be funny? Like, there is just so many levels that we can just be better at. I understand it's the meta. I understand it's what ships. It's like, yeah, I don't want to be part of that. Like, dog with beanie, send it. You know, it's
Yeah.
yeah, there's ways to be
Q
like
coin, send it.
cute
Racist
coins, cat
coin.
coins, give me the cat coins. Like, yeah,
Bodega
that's
cat. Banana cat.
banana cat, meow, like what was it?
So many
Hey,
cats.
you cat. So many cat
There's,
coins.
I know, this is cat, dog. Speaking of like me. Right now, I guess the list will come out in a week and a half from now, but I wonder if a week and a half now, like where Base is going to be, because you see a lot of meme coins on Base, and you've actually like taking a step back, like how Base have done their rollout, because they don't have a token. There's no one expecting an airdrop from Base, and yet they have been able to garner so much hype and excitement and action, whether it's with like SocialFi, whether it's like with Farcaster, with Unlonely or DeFi, there's Aerodrome. Or all these meme normie meme coins coming out and whatnot. Like, what are your thoughts on how like Base is executed as a roll up and getting people to use it?
I think it's brilliant, to be honest. I will say, like, I was trading on Base a lot more. I was on Farcaster quite a bit about like a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago. But I haven't really been on. So I got a new. Okay, me and Farcaster have this relationship
Yes, please let it
where
tell us. Please let us know.
I love Farcaster. I think it's absolutely freaking brilliant. And there is something so funny about someone who preaches key management so much. I have managed to lock myself out of my Farcaster account twice.
Twice. Not once, but twice.
Twice. I've had to like get the team to log me back on, like, you know, because you can do account recovery. And it's so embarrassing for me. Because it's like, I'm like, usual ledgers, you know, key management, blah, 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 blah.
What was
And
it
then I'm
like when you hit them up the second time? And are they like, again? Are you
like,
serious? Are you again?
it was only like a month later as well that I needed it. And I was like, my phone got stolen. And yeah. So the first one was just bad key management. The second one was phone stolen and like ignorant key management. And like now I've also got a new phone and I need to download. I just haven't like updated this. I got this phone like 2 days ago. I haven't updated all my new stuff on it, but huge, huge fan of Farcaster and everything that they're doing there. I think it's the natural like evolution of social media, like 100%. Like Frames, I think it's fantastic. And I think just, and I'm also like huge on Superchain as well. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what it means for Base.
Yeah, I when you think of Frentech, speaking of social apps on Base.
So I really enjoyed Frentech for a while. I was literally on it within like the first hour of it launching. I'm gonna be honest, I had no idea how to use it. I was like, guys, how are you making money on it? Because I had no idea. Like, I was also like not degenning too hard back when like Frentech came out, and like I wasn't really work. Like, I was being just a bit more conservative with everything that I was doing back then. But I was like, I think Frentech is great, but again, it comes down to this hyper-financialization of everything. It's just like you're just turning people into tickers, and I don't think that's
Yeah.
how we're gonna see. That's not how we're gonna see adoption. That's how we're just gonna see a little bit of market manipulation between people. Like, it's, if you're leveraging social clout, then that's, I don't think that is like, so I explained gossip to someone, they were like, oh, it's like Frentech, and I was like, no, it's absolutely friggin' not.
No,
Like,
it's not.
it's not.
I feel like Frentech is V1 is one extreme side of the spectrum where at first I was on Frentech early as well. And it was a lot of fun. Even the bugginess of it was fun. It's like, hey, it's this
Does
group
it even
chat
work?
and like your friends. Yeah. Like people can't see other people's messages, but you can. And like I was doing this thing where I would basically just be copy pasting like everyone's like responses in the group. And like, so like everybody could see everybody else's messages. It was very schizo of me. I had like a very schizo moment for like, it looked like I was just like talking to myself. But it was very bullish, my friend tech for sure. It was fun at first. And I think it stopped being fun when when it became too hyper-financialized, when it became too much about, oh, like, hold my coin, and I'll hold your. I mean, hold my key, I'll hold your key. Like this whole 3-3 attitude. Then it became like everything was like centered around speculation instead of fun. And at that point, everybody was just kind of. I feel like it just kind of like faded away. I mean, it found like product market fit really fast. But then when they like really turned up the knob of like, hey, like how hyper financialized can we make it? It was like to a fault. It'll be interesting to see what comes out in with V2 with like custom bonding curves and like if it's going to be like less hyper financialized, but like you know it's it, there has to be like a limit because not everything like yes like it's very easy to hyper financialize and anything where like there's like a chain and it's on chain and whatnot, but like to have kind of you know what's the word I'm looking for to like hold yourself back from doing that, like what's the word I'm looking for, like to hold yourself back.
Restraint.
Restraint, to have restraint, yeah. Sorry, sometimes
Sorry
can be just a dut, yeah. To
about
have restraint, yeah, for a dutz of, I mean, some to have restraint for doing that is like a whole nother thing, and that's probably the thing that crypto needs to learn, and that's what you're trying to do. That's what you have done with Chipped.
Yes, I'd like to think that it's, I know it can be financialized, and I know the data that then comes with it is like super open to being financialized, but I don't want to lead with it. And I know I was
It's
having
in the
when I was,
background.
it's in the background, and it's just like it's there if we want to do it, or if like a partner wants to do it. Like, the mechanism is just naturally there because it is all on chain. But it's not like you don't buy a set of, you're not buying a set of nails with like, oh, because I can make freaking couple of $100 if I use them. It's like, I want to do it because I want to be that bitch. Like, that's the kind of,
Yeah.
that's a KPI. Being that bitch is a
Being that
KPI.
bitch is that KPI. Yeah.
Like, me, yeah.
Yeah. So other than being, you know, having all everybody that's using it being that bitch, including if I get a chip down, I'm gonna be that bitch. Like what is in the roadmap? Like what do you have in store for chips in the next year?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, naturally starting Seed Club, doing the rebrand right now. So these are very minor short-term things, but got some incredibly exciting things going on in Asia. Like, that's just the market for me.
Oh,
Like,
true.
it's just South, the Middle East and Southeast Asia are just the two most dominating markets for this kind of thing right now. And like, everyone's like, oh, but originally, like when I was doing Chipped, I was like, oh yeah, like, you know, the PMs who work at Google who do the get ready with me's and stuff like that. And then it becomes like a, but I was like, no, that just doesn't, like, that was a fun idea. But when I started to just look into it more and just look outside and start, like, I've been traveling quite a bit lately and seeing everything that is going on in like Dubai and Asia, it's just like, wow, this from a market from just a mass perspective, and just an understanding of things, and just an openness to these ideas, it just aligns so much more like over there. Mm-hmm. So got some really great, exciting things coming out overseas.
Yeah. Overseas. Yeah.
Something that we did really fun actually at New York Fashion Week. So there's this brand that I love called Dauphinette. It's like a couture conceptual brand. They make like toast lamps, which have like spikes coming out of them, and like American footballs that are covered in spikes. And they just kind of like, they do a lot of upscaling of vintage, and it's just a really beautiful, crazy, crazy brand. And we had an amazing opportunity where we like put the chips on the runway models for New York Fashion Week. And one of the bags, they actually just like glued a chip onto one of these bags that was covered in old gems and old watches. And I'm like, I just want to do more silly stuff like that. Like, you know, thinking about like conceptual campaigns, and one that we're working on right now is a set of grills, which have an NFC chip in them.
Oh, that's sick.
But just like,
you can do like something like old school 2005-esque music videos.
When I send you the branding, you're going to get everything right. And I just want to
have a grill. I'm going to have a grill at the next Stave.
Yeah, literally. And like, it's like, but it's stupid, because like, no one's going to tap your tooth with a phone, but it's like, but it's for the bit. But like, the whole vibes that I want to go down. And we're also doing, this is also the branding that we're going down for Gossip Protocol, is like turning it into like a naughty skate brand. So kind of going like, it's like anti-hardware, hardware club is the kind of vibes that I'm going for. Like, you know, the flip phone, the Walkmans. So all of the visualization that we're doing is very nostalgic and like very approachable and very fun and very Gen Z,
Y2K.
And so just very fun and inviting, instead of being like, we're another freaking protocol. It's how do I make it so fun? So fun.
And how can you make it receptive for people that aren't exactly in the space? Because like, if anybody like looks at a lot of things in crypto right now, or like things, especially in DeFi and like my corner DeFi, they're automatically intimidated. It's a turnoff. Even like what we were saying earlier, if people see like, oh, like use my product, like use this thing and like you'll earn like this amount of money, people are like, oh no, I don't trust it. And even if like that is true and there's like no catch to it, people will automatically be turned off. But meanwhile, you're creating something that's easily digestible, easy to be received, and eventually that's like their first dipping of their toes in like using, being in the world on chain, and it will be a lot easier for them to digest those more advanced things later on that I'm probably doing.
100%. That is exactly it. Yeah.
I want to get into some more just like more story time hour, just more personal stuff. What is your, like, do you have any like fun, what is your favorite memory from traveling and being in crypto over the past few years?
Oh my gosh.
Or like one that sticks out.
I was literally talking about this the other day. Wait, what? Oh my God. I've had so many. I don't like even think that things that happened during the bull run were like my favorite. Like, there were some wild things that went on, like, you know, the F1 events with like Cameo in Miami, which is just like, and I was having a conversation with my friend today, just being like, it was so wild that like just a bunch of Muppets from Twitter who just talk about crypto are like going to these events with like genuinely famous people. And we're like getting invited alongside them. And I was like, this is really bizarre. Like, it, and then like obviously a lot of that went away when everything went down, but okay, I'm like literally, okay, I'm just gonna, because I have a really bad, what's the word, object permanence of memories, and then like when they come up and I get to speak to people, I'm like, oh my God, this is so fun. Actually, to be honest, Art Basel this last year, or like December, was probably a really great one for me, because even through the month, like one of my best friend, Clara, she's an incredible artist. And
oh, Clara. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I got to see, like, there was like an expo for like her work. And I just, like, when you get to see your friends do stuff, and I just get so proud of my friends. And they, like, that was probably like, that's in the last 6 months. That was
that's
probably
really sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably say just like seeing, just watching the girls succeed is like my favorite thing. I'm so proud of them. And it's like, she also won like the Optimism, like the Optimism contest was incredible.
Oh,
like
the art contest.
Just like, I know like this, I saw like some friends who were like bitter that they didn't win. I'm like, can you not be happy for like the girls? Can you not be happy that like we're at that point where we all get to win.
I feel the same way seeing people like make it on chain, or whenever I see someone like, you know, have like a make it play and they actually make it, I'm thinking like, good for them. I'm happy for them. Let's all win together. I think like just people having that mindset of like, let's all win together, and there's going to be another opportunity around the corner. You just have to position yourself to take it. Like that's the right mindset.
Position yourself closer to that person. If they win, position yourself closer to them. Like don't be against them.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. Be happy for them. Like, hey, like we're still in the early innings.
I've seen like some of my friends like get six figures in the last week over like, you know, sub like two digit plays. I can't be mad at them because I missed out. Like they're putting the work in, you know.
Yeah, then the trenches, then the tunnels.
They're in the tunnels. I don't know. Like it's just been the last few months have been really great, to be honest. Like I've just been like, oh my god, my throat is like going. I've gone through like three different beverages over the course of this.
I have a jug.
Oh my god, this is a bit from The Unlonely.
Wait, it is? Wait, who did this?
Yeah, because there was this one guy there was William on one of his, on his date. He just had like a massive water bottle and we're like, this is so weird. And like, everyone just like made fun of it. And then Eli's date was the next day. He just had like one of those massive like 9 liter ones to like, just as a bit to like follow up on William's date. Yeah. So just seeing the big water bottle was a bit from Unlonely. But yeah, I'm trying to think of like, what events have I done that have just made me, I think like the SheFi one in Istanbul was probably like the best one for me, like one of the best moments in the last year.
What happened there? Like
it was the chipped activation.
Yeah. Oh, the chipped activation. Oh, it was like seeing your work come to life.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I would say like Dauphinette, like just to be backstage at a New York Fashion Week, like couture show.
Oh.
And then just, you know, speaking to Vogue, to, yeah, all of that chip stuff with Chip, like when it was in like High Snobiety, Vogue, like Hypebeast, to like see, it's really crazy because like when I run, I run a lot, and it's mostly because it's like my meditation. It's my, align myself with the stuff that I want and stuff that I want to see happen. And like you get runners high a lot, you get like, it's a very overwhelming thing when you're like really focusing on like what you want. It's like, I want Chipped in Vogue, like that's for me, I want to see my baby in Vogue. And it gets, when you're, and especially when you're running with those endorphins, it gets like really like, it's a really powerful feeling. And then when it happens, it's like, oh okay, this just happened, cool, okay,
I manifested this. I like the universe, like I had a vision in my head. And the universe kind of, it's not paranoia, it's pronoia. Paranoia is like, oh, the world is looking, working against me. Pronoia is like, no, the world is working in my favor. And when you see that shit happen, you're like, let's fucking go.
Exactly. But it's like, when it does happen, that feeling that you get when you're like trying to make it happen is gone. It's like, oh, this is so normal. Like, because it's almost like you've already lived it. And it's like, yeah, the reason I have like a really normal reaction to these things happening is because it's already real, because it's meant to happen. And
yeah,
I think just having that
written,
having that consistent thought, and then just being like, this is what I'm working towards, and having these like really tangible goals and then achieving them is like, okay, sick, I'm doing something. But then I was like, okay, what's next, what's the next thing to make me, well, what's next,
what is the next you know, I just had this thought, like, you know, we were talking about being silly before, it's like, should protocols get sillier? But I think with all those like protocols or companies or like accounts are being silly, at the end of the day they're being true to themselves and not trying to hide it or anything. And I think that is the most important thing, is for projects to like listen to their inner voice and be like, okay, who am I actually? Like if I'm like a serious DeFi protocol, then do that. If you're like a silly like NFT project, then do that. If you're like trying, just find your like your voice and like find what you're true to. This is exactly what Alon said last week. It's like find where, don't be what you're not. I think that at the end of the day, if you're building something, don't be what you're not, and like be true to yourself and see where the cards fall, and you'll see if you have PMF or not. And I think that's what's been happening with Chipped, is you're being true to yourself, and you're finding more than PMF. You're finding like a lot of momentum on your side, and a lot of things in the works that you just said. And I was gonna say, we talk about, you know, vision, alignment, like what is like the ultimate like vision, like let's say best case scenario, like 3-4 years from now, Chipped mainstream. You have like celebrities wearing Shifts. Like it's everywhere. TikTok. It's like in the New York Times. Like from like what is like the ultimate bull case for Shifts? I know it's a lot.
I think it is just like, for me, the whole ethos of Chipped is alignment with where technology is going. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a small thing, but like when you look at like wearable tech, you look at like the silly, like years ago, people would thought it was silly to wear AirPods. And now there's the whole joke of wearing the Apple Vision Pro. You don't have to like go outside wearing an Apple Vision Pro just to show that you understand where technology is going. I feel like when it comes to things like wearable tech, there's such a dichotomy of understanding, like it's the next thing. Like it's 100, like to me it 100% is. You look at like everything that was at CES, like from like the rabbit pin to whatever, it's the natural progression, and we're moving away from screens. So I think that like we're moving away from this, the way that we have like the square screen, I don't think is the future of how we interact with tech. Like Chips takes the G out of the GUI. It's like, it's, you're using an interface that's not fully relying on like just like a basic square screen. And I think that's the natural progression, and it's how we're going to get people comfortable with wearable tech as we move forward. Like that's my vision for it.
So what does that look like of a world without screen? Is it like Shift is one part of it? So is it like multiple mm-hmm. different articles of different physical objects?
It's the internet, not just the internet of things, it's the internet of everything. So whether
it's
that's
the internet of things, it's the internet of everything.
It's chains, it's finance, it's social, it's everything is going to be an internet connected web of. Everything's going to be in an essence, a gossip protocol. So for me, it's like, how do we turn human beings?
I love the name.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's gossip protocol.
Yeah. How do we turn human beings into a gossip protocol? And then how do we turn everything else around it into a gossip protocol? Like I'm a whoop maxi. I am getting an NFC chip embedded under my skin. Like I'm committing to.
Oh, you are going to get chipped.
I'm getting physically chipped. Like one of my manufacturing partners is the world leader in putting NFC chips in human beings. So, and they're based out of Japan though. So gonna have to go to Japan.
Gonna have to go to Japan. No. Speaking of being committed to the pit, like I'm like cherry blossom.
Oh, you wearing the Arizona ice? Yep, the blossoms. Blossoms.
Yeah, you know it.
I was talking to my friend this morning about this podcast, and they're like, oh, I met DeFi Dave. And I was like, they're wearing the Arizona ice T-shirt. He's like, yes. That is it. So you gotta, it's all about brand building, culture. You can't buy it, storytelling, lore. It's about how do you create that, like that little soup bowl of like everything. And how do you make a good soup?
Exactly. I like what I've noticed about the cherry blossoms is I didn't force it. I didn't wake up one day and be like, oh, Arizona cherry blossoms, that's going to be my brand. That's it. It kind of just came naturally over time. And I kind of saw what people responded to. I wasn't even trying to do anything, but I noticed how people responded to my articles of clothing, because I wore like all different kinds of vaporwave nostalgia shirts. But for some reason, people noticed me in the Arizona cherry blossoms, and it made sense with the stable coins. And then I'm just like, okay, there's something here. And then I just like kept on wearing it to the point where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tweet at them and be like, hey, like notice me, like you should sponsor me. And then like everybody was like, why don't you sponsor DeFi Dave? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a bunch of cherry blossom shirts. I'm going to get a cherry blossom tattoo. You were with me. Yeah. Because you were just we should go get tattoos.
You were here for this one.
The fish, right? The fish.
Yeah, the fish. Yep, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm just... I'll never forget, like, because I was like, all right, I guess this is a time to get a tattoo again. And I was walking with my friend from my hometown in New York who lived in Brooklyn. And we went, he had to replace his vape. So we went to a bodega. And I was like, think of a tattoo. And I just saw an Arizona can. And I grabbed it. And I was like, yo, Max, look. And I like put it like against my forearm, like, this is my next tattoo. He was like, no. And then the next day I got it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, that's the whole thing. Like, I was on I was doing a talk about brand building in Web3, and I never intended to turn myself into like a personal brand building. I didn't log on to Twitter with the intent of being like, I'm going to be this person in crypto. Or like, I started winnie.eth as an account to really like mostly like escape my normal life and just kind of learn more about crypto and just kind of be just, I just use it as a tool to learn about stuff. I never intended to like, because like obviously like people know by now Winnie's not my real name. It is like my pseudonym. It's from my last name, from like nickname from sports teams. But like it became, just naturally became like winnie.eth. Like it just became Winnie. And it's like, that was never my intention with it. I just wanted to be, I just wanted to be involved.
Yeah, it's kind of like these things kind of just end up happening, whether we like it or not. And it's like either you step into the that role, or you're just like, nah, you just like watch it fly by. Like, you know, I'm DeFi Dave with Cherry Blossoms, you're winnie.eth with Chipped. We're here continuing along with our journey, you know, and I'm excited to see what we do in the future. So we're wrapping up soon, but like before we go, I asked like a few questions, like a quick lightning round. So I'm going to ask two questions. What would be some advice to your younger self?
Stop hating yourself so much.
Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself. Like it was so part of the meta back then to be like derogatory towards yourself, and to like having hobbies was not cool, and like caring about things was not cool. And like,
you need to work all the time. You need to be on the computer grinding nonsense and that. And just,
no, but like, not even that. Like, you know, even caring about stuff was like not cool. Especially like, that's kind of like where I was from. It was like, I'm like, God, just love what you love, you know? Like, be obsessed with what you're obsessed with. I remember I was obsessed with like computer science when I was like 12 years old, and drawing and loads of things. And like the girls I was at school with, they were like, that's so lame. Like, why'd you like that? And I stopped caring about that stuff. And it's stuff that I really care about now. And like, I wish I had stuck with the stuff that I loved more when I was younger without, and then like not done the stuff that I was told to care about. Like now every day I wake up and I just do what I care about. And that's like building chips, building in this space. And I really wish that I had just cared, like just done what I cared about.
Nice. And my final question is, who would you recommend on the show? Who would you like to see as a guest?
Oh, probably Grace Guan from Unruly. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, and there's betting. There's like some like financial element. That's a good point.
Yes. Yeah. It's cool. Like it's the financialization of live streams.
Yeah. Cool. And where can people find you? Where can people find Chipped?
You can find me as Winnie ETH on pretty much everything, or winnie.eth, and then Chipped Social on Twitter, chipped.social on like Instagram and stuff. Because we're going through a little bit of a rebrand, nothing's really out much on there. There's the Gossip Protocol Twitter, which just is unhinged as well. But yeah, any one of those three.
Soon, TM.
Soon, TM.
And if you're watching this, wherever you're watching this on Twitter or YouTube, make sure you subscribe, hit the bell button, leave a comment, let us know what you think. Give us a like. If you're watching this on Twitter, please repost, give us a reply, give us a like. Make sure to follow us on all our social media at Flywheel DeFi on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram. You can follow us on Farcaster at Flywheel. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22, also on Farcaster at DeFiDave, and subscribe to FlywheelDeFi.com for all the latest updates and news. Winnie.eth, thank you so much for joining us. We hope to see you soon. Dave. And we're all going to be chipped soon. So thank you so much for giving us a heads up. See ya. Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.